Have you take your Bibles this evening and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I love that hymn we were just singing. And as we come again to consider, to contemplate the goodness of God to us and survey His wonders, that we would indeed be lost in wonder, love, and praise, that we would magnify His name. I want to take a minute to wish Dr. Saunders a very happy birthday. He thought he was getting away today. He's always the man who is wishing everyone else a happy birthday. And someone whispered in my ear this morning and told me that he had a birthday today. So take time to wish him a happy birthday. And they also told me his age. And I'm not going to give it away tonight, but let's just say I was surprised he made it up the pulpit stairs. He's so old. But we're glad he did. We enjoyed the message this morning. And we truly believe the Lord had a word in season for us. I also appreciate his comments tonight with regard to the Valley of Tears and of loss. I think it's appropriate to what we're going to consider this evening. And indeed, on the front of your bulletin, we have that well-known verse in Romans chapter 8. We were reading from Romans 8. We didn't read this verse, but we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And with those comments and with that verse in mind, we turn to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. With God's word open before us, let's just take a moment to seek the Lord and His help. Our Father and our God in heaven, we are thankful that we can come unto Thee this evening hour. We claim again that wonderful promise that if we seek Thee, You will be found of us. Lord, help us to know Your presence with us here tonight. We're so thankful, Lord, for Your thoughts towards us. They are more than can be numbered. They are more than the sand of the sea. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. And Lord, as we gather into Thy house this night, we pray that You would minister again to our souls, that we would be encouraged in the Lord, that we would find our strength in Christ, the risen Savior, the living One, whoever lives for us, His people, whoever lives to make intercession on our behalf. And now, as we seek Thee, Lord, in this place, we know that we are coming to a throne of grace. We can come boldly upon the ground of the Word of God, those sure promises. Oh, Lord, we pray that Your promises would be real and that You would minister to each and every one of us tonight. Bless the reading of Your Word. Bless this Word to hearts gathered in here. We pray, Lord, for the help of the Spirit. We know that without Thee we can do nothing. And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And so, Lord, we are praying tonight that as a people assemble together for the glory of God, that we would be built up in the faith, that our hearts would be directed to consider again the love of God in Christ Jesus, and that we would walk in the light as Thou art in the light. Hear our prayer now, we ask, and continue with us, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30, we'll begin to read at the verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, It was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought hither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. And then verse 18 and 19 we read, And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. Amen. And we pray the Lord's blessing upon the reading of his word tonight. We find our text in verse 6 at the end of that verse, where we read these words, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, before we proceed, we need to get some background information. He broke into this chapter here at a time in David's life, a time of great distress. And we have to see what led to this place. David is at Ziklag, and he found himself really in a heap of trouble. This is one of the lowest times in the life of David. It was a dark period. This dark period had been the result, really, of his compromise, his unholy and ungodly alliance with Achish, the enemy king of Gath. It really came about because of David's fear, because of David's failure to trust in God. He fled speedily without consulting the Lord. In chapter 27, in the verse 1, we read, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in the coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. And this was his reasoning, this was his mind. Saul desires my life. He's not going to rest until he has his measure of blood. And there's nothing better for me than I escape. And so he fled. David arose. He passed over with 600 men that were with him unto Achish, the king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath. In fear, he fled. He failed to trust the Lord. David, out of fear, the fear of Saul, fled. He made this unholy alliance with Achish, and he spent some time there, 16 months to be exact. Achish gave David a place as a token for his service. He gave him the city of Ziklag, this city about which we have been reading, and there David dwelt. It wasn't long after that Achish went out against Israel, against the people of God, and David with him. But the princes of Philistia They were unsettled. They were not happy about that. They were fearful lest David should take an opportunity to restore favor with Israel, with his master, with Saul. They thought this would be really too good an opportunity for David to pass by. He might turn on them. And the Philistine princes, they were fearful, and they made it known to Achish they did not want David with them. And so Achish was obliged then to send David back to Ziklag. David and his men, they left at first light. It took them 3 days. It was a three-day march to Ziklag. And as he and his men made their approach to Ziklag, they find the city here, as we've been reading, burned with fire. The sky was black with smoke. They begin to speed up and run to their homes, only to find that their wives and their children are all gone. All their goods have been spoiled. The Amalekites had been there. The city was in ashes. There was nothing there but ruin. How their hearts must have sunk. Ziklag was reduced to ashes, and there was nothing David could have done. It was utterly destroyed. His wives and their children carried away. You can imagine how after the release from Achish and from the battle, they would have been looking forward to this time of reunion with their family. They had been looking forward to the welcome of children and of wives. And all they found were ruin and ashes. And now David finds himself in a precarious situation. His own men had turned against him. He is under the threat of death by his own followers. Their grief having turned to anger with David for taking them away to fight with the Philistines, leaving the place, Ziklag, defenseless and unprotected. And so, in their anger, they turn against their leader. How is it that everything appears to and actually goes against us when we get away from the Lord? We wind up in Ziklag. Coming home, David and the men expected a loving welcome. They hoped to enjoy the company of loved ones. They hoped it would be a place of rest after a long march. Instead, they find destruction, devastation, brokenness, loss, grief. Evidence of violent marauders, not the haven they expected and longed for. Can we not say in passing that many a home today knows the evil effects and the sad effects of sin and self-will? It was because of David's self-will and unbelief. He found himself in this position, and how many homes are ruined because of self-will and sin? Ziklag, we find here in this chapter, as we have been reading, is the place of destruction and ruin. Look again at verse 3, and we read there that it was that place burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. The people were grieved. The men that were with him were grieved. And David himself was greatly distressed, we read in verse 6. It was a place of destruction and ruin. How much we lose when we go in the path of self-will. It was a place of loss and grief. Their wives and daughters taken captive. It was a place of great distress. It was a place of rejection for David, because his own men now turn against him and talk of stoning him. Ziklag. Devastation, loss, grief, distress, rejection. Does it sound familiar? Have you ever been to Ziklag? Maybe not physically or geographically, but maybe this has been your experience spiritually. You've been to Ziklag. Sooner or later, each one of us come to our Ziklag. There may be sudden bereavement, some severe loss, loved ones taken away. Could be the loss of property. It could be the loss of your possessions, how suddenly the things that we possess can be taken away by fire, by flood. Could be the loss of health, pain, suffering, some sudden change as a result of a collision or an accident. The forsaking of friends, being left alone, the place of grief, loss, devastation, distress, even rejection. Sooner or later, we all come to our own Ziklag, where everything around us seems to be reduced to ashes. We're filled with despair, grief, and anguish. And there God demonstrates to us, he shows us, he reveals to us our own weakness, our helplessness, and constrains us really to apply to him, to the Lord, for the strength that we need. He's really showing us, as he did with David, showing us that when we are weak, we must be strong in the Lord. We must find our strength in him. And there you see David standing in the midst of ruin. Standing there, his faith is revived. Though it was a difficult circumstance, though it was a hard place, his faith returns and revives, and he is renewed. When others are despairing, when others are frustrated, when others are grieved and angry and faint under the trial, David turns to the Lord. And we read here in our text, what did he do? David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. There he comes to himself and he turns to the Lord. You know, it often requires a heavy blow from the Lord to awaken us out of our complacent belief in our own wisdom, to waken us up. The chastening rod of God sometimes falls upon us and we are awakened to see our folly and how foolish we have been in following our own path and not resting in the Lord, not seeking the Lord, not inquiring of the Lord. And standing in the midst of ruin, David turns to the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Encouragement. Encouragement. We all need encouragement at times. We all need to be lifted up. We all need to be strengthened, encouraged to persevere and to go on. We are, as the scripture tells us, to exhort one another daily. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort or encourage the feeble-minded, exhort one another, support the weak, be patient toward all men." In Hebrews 10:24-25, we read, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We are to encourage one another, to provoke one another unto love and good works. But you know, the best encouragement, the best comfort we can find and can know is in the Savior himself, in the Lord Jesus Christ. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There's not a friend like Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Note those words, his God. You know, I often quote this text and I leave off those words. David encouraged himself in the Lord. We know that part, but we forget those two little words, his God. We often leave those words off when we cite those verses. I know I did until I looked at it again. But those words signify relationship, union. He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He's able to say, as every child of God is able to say, the Lord is my portion. I will trust in him. And what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I will trust in the Lord my God. There's relationship there. He belongs to the Lord. There is a union with God. The Lord is his portion. He hopes in the Lord. And for each one of us who know the Lord, we can say, the Lord is my God. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. I can encourage myself in the Lord. And as Matthew Henry said, he said, those that have taken the Lord for their God may take encouragement from their relationship to him, even in the worst of times. It is the duty and interest of all God's people, that whatever happens, to encourage themselves in God as their Lord and as their God, assuring themselves that he can and will bring light out of darkness, peace out of trouble, and good out of evil to all that love him and are called according to his purpose. As in David's case, the Lord was able to overrule. David had failed. David had fallen. He had forsaken the Lord. Yet the Lord was able to overrule and turn things around and work all those things for good. You know, the Lord graciously uses circumstances in our life to keep us in a spirit of complete dependence upon him. Sometimes he will bring hard things our way in order that we would lean more and more on him. And yet we often fail to see the things that go against us are actually God's working all things for good. We say all these things are against us, and we fail to see God's purpose. We fail to see God's preserving hand, perhaps. We fail to see that it's God preserving us from further disaster. You see it in the circumstances of David's life here. As he was dismissed, sent away, sent back, he was delivered in that instance from fighting his own people. Now he turns to Ziklag and he finds more difficulties, more trials, hardship. And yet God was working in that place, because in the midst of those ruins, David turns again to the Lord. It was God preserving him from further disaster and working in him a spirit of complete dependence. God has to at times bring us to an end of ourselves in order that we would cast ourselves upon him, that we would trust in him more. So that feeling our own inability, feeling our own insufficiency, we turn to the one who is all sufficient, who is the God of all grace. And like the prodigal son, we come to our senses and we turn again to the Father's house. Humbled under the mighty hand of God, we turn to the Almighty for deliverance. And that's what David did here. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. What is it to encourage yourself in the Lord? Let me just suggest a few points tonight to drive this home. We encourage ourselves in the Lord when, number one, we recall past mercies and God's goodness to us. Recalling past mercies. David could look back to past deliverance, to the goodness of God in his life. The Lord who helped him face the lion and the bear. The Lord who helped him face Goliath. The Lord who delivered him from Saul on numerous occasions. He could look back to many instances and see, God was with me. And the God of the past is the God of the present. The God of then is the God of now. He's with me still. And he delivered me then. I'm sure he will not forsake me as I turn to him. Recall the goodness and the mercy of God. We encourage ourselves in the Lord our God when we recognize his power. We recognize his power. Contemplating the omnipotence of God, we find hope. David remembers the power of God. He encourages himself in the Lord his God, the Lord of hosts, the Almighty. Knowing that he was able to overrule, knowing that nothing is impossible to the Lord, knowing that nothing is too hard, no situation too hopeless, he recognizes the power of God to deliver, and his heart is encouraged. Jeremiah in Lamentations 3 said, "This I call to mind, therefore I have hope." He remembered the goodness and the mercy of God in Lamentations chapter 3. And the verse 21, he says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." When we realize the goodness of God, when we recognize the power of God, our hope is renewed. Our hearts are encouraged. We encourage ourselves in the Lord when, number three, we remember God's promises. God had promised. God had made it clear that David would be king. He was the anointed. The Lord had given him clear direction. He had given him a clear word. He had given him the sign. And David was to return again to the word of promise, to consider that word. The Lord would bring it about. He didn't know how, but he knew he would, because the Lord is faithful to his word. The Lord would bless his word. The Lord would fulfill his word. And that's a word for us today. Can we not rest in the promises of God? Our hearts are encouraged when we rest in the promises of God, when we recognize his goodness, when we recognize his power, when we remember his promises. We encourage ourselves in the Lord our God when we call on him to relieve our pain and distress. When we come to him in the place of prayer, we read here in verse 8, David inquired at the Lord. It's something he forgot to do before. In haste, he fled. He didn't consult the Lord. But now, coming to his senses, realizing his need, feeling his helplessness and his insufficiency, he looks to the Lord and he calls on the Lord, the righteous cry, and the Lord hear and deliver. He delivers out of all their troubles. How many instances, how many verses do you have through the Psalms of deliverance where David could say, "I called, the Lord heard, and delivered me"? And I know he will be true again. He inquires of the Lord. And you know, when our own wisdom and strength fails, we must seek divine wisdom and strength earnestly. David, because of his unbelief and self-will, found himself in a dilemma, in a precarious situation. You know, backsliding and that spirit of independence go together. But when the soul in sorrow returns, there is a spirit of dependence upon the Lord. We call upon the Lord. We seek the Lord. We encourage ourselves in the Lord. This is what we must do. David recommits his path unto the Lord. That's what it is to encourage yourself in the Lord. You can imagine if you were to place yourself in this situation. You've come to this camp. It's in ruin and ashes, devastation. Your family is gone. And your immediate reaction would be, let's go, let's gather ourselves together, get your armor, get your sword, let's go after these men and get our people back. But David didn't rush ahead. In this case, he waited upon the Lord. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, he shall strengthen your heart. And he inquires at the Lord, saying, when others were despising the chastening of the Lord, or turning against God's servant, David calmly turns to the Lord his God. And he encourages himself in the Lord, and he seeks the Lord again. He commits his path to the Lord. He seeks restoration and recovery. And it indicates here in this place that David realized his folly. He repented of his sin. And he seeks the Lord. And now he calls for the right path. He calls for the high priest. And he does things the right way, the Lord's way. He turns to the only person who can help in this time of need. And friend, these are instructive words for us. As believers, can we not recall, if we are to be encouraged tonight in the Lord, can we not recall the Lord's goodness to us? It's of his mercies we're not consumed. We encourage ourselves in the Lord. We have a secure salvation. We have a strong and mighty Savior, Jesus Christ. We have a strong deliverer. He is our rock, our fortress. And the God who has been with us in the past has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will be with us continually as we rest in him, as we seek him, as we draw from him, recognizing his power, that without him we can do nothing. Resting in his promises, his word is true. Is it not the case, has it not been the case often in your life, in your experience, where you have come to an end of yourself and you don't know what to do, and the Lord has come in a timely fashion, because his timing is perfect, with a word of sweet comfort for your soul, a word in season for the weary soul to help you through. And you go in the strength of that meat, you go in the strength of that word, and you hold on to that promise, and your heart is encouraged. You claim those promises in the place of prayer. Calling upon the Lord who hears and answers the prayers of God's people. You bring your burden to him, and you cast your care upon the Lord Jesus, knowing that he is one who cares for you. And as we come to see our folly, and we come to confess our sin, and as we renew our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, he is one who gives us that strength to go on. David recovered all, we read here. And we can encourage ourselves in the Lord our God today, in the reality of his person, in his sovereign power, his mighty hand, his sufficient grace. We can say with David, as he said in Psalm 31, my times are in his hand. My times are in his hand. That's a comforting truth. As we think of the sovereignty of God, you know, A.W. Pink, he said, nothing is more quieting and stabilizing to the soul than the realization that everything was ordained by omniscience and is now ordered by infinite love. My times are in thy hand. Yes, he said, my times of tarrying, my times of journeying, my times of prosperity, my times of adversity, my times of fellowship with saints, and my times of isolation and loneliness, each and all are ordered by God. It is blessed to know this, and more blessed still when the heart is permitted to rest upon it. He knows, God knows, when it is best to bring me out of a distressing situation, and his mercy opens the way when it is time for me to make a move. We rest in the sovereignty of God. We rest in the mighty power of the Savior. He is mighty to save. We have a secure salvation. We are clothed in the robes of Christ's righteousness. And we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. His grace is sufficient. And friend, be encouraged then today. Be encouraged. Find your encouragement in the Lord. Rest in Him, the solid rock. May He be your strong habitation. You continually resort to Him. And be encouraged that when all we hold dear is gone or are taken from us, our hopes and our expectations may be disappointed. Let us encourage ourselves in the Lord, who forever remains the same. He changes not. We can rest in His love, rest in His power, rest in His sovereign purposes. Hope thou in God. And in adverse circumstances, we need to be assured that God is able to deliver us out of all our troubles, even that which we have brought upon ourselves because of our own disobedience, self-reliance, alliance with the enemies of God. God is able to deliver us. We need to know the reality and the sufficiency of God to deliver us. He is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by Him, Jesus Christ. You know, life is full of losses, devastation, grief, isolation, rejection. And it may be that right now you are dealing with some great loss and the discouragement that comes with that. You're in great distress. Your heart is grieved. You've lost a loved one, perhaps. Something you deeply treasured has been taken away, or someone. You need to know the comfort of Christ. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. We read here in verse 18 and 19, David recovered all that had been carried away. David recovered all. There is a greater in David. There is the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is in the recovery business. Jesus Christ, He recovers lost souls. He recovers lost joy. He recovers lost peace. He recovers lost years, the years that the locusts have eaten. He is a greater than David, and He is able to repair the breach that has been broken and to restore you as you commit your way unto Him. Recognize His goodness. Recognize His power. Look to Him in your pain. Rest in His word. He is able to deliver. May the Lord bless this word to our hearts tonight, and may we be encouraged as we look and consider the faithfulness and the greatness of our God. Our Father and our God in heaven, we are thankful for this hour. We're thankful for our time in Thy house this night. May we be encouraged by the word. Lord, help us to have that renewed hope as we consider again the word of the living God. Oh, that we would daily encourage ourselves in the Lord. Lord, that we would not be cast down, but that we would hope in God. Lord, deliver us from times of grief and loss. We pray, Lord, that You would bring us through those times for Your glory. We are thankful that when we pass through the waters and through the fire, through the flame, that You've promised to be with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Lord, help Thy people this week. Be their strength, be their portion. Help them in their going out and their coming in to live for Thee and to bring honor and glory to Thy name as they shine brightly in the world for Jesus. Help us to be those lights set upon a hill. Lord, that we would walk close with Thee, close to our first love. Lord, renew that love in us. May there be a burning love and passion for our Savior who gave Himself for us that we might be redeemed. We are not our own. We are bought with a price this night. We have so much to give thanks for. Lord, we recognize Your goodness and we praise Your name. Bless us now. Be with us. And we pray, Lord, for those who are outside of Christ this night, who know Thee not, or without God and without hope in this world. May they see that their only hope, their only salvation, their only deliverance is in Christ the Savior. Turn our hearts to Thee again. Bless this word, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.